At 8:23, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. Authorities say two Dallas police officers are in critical condition after they were shot while trying to remove a man from a Home Depot in Northeast Dallas yesterday. Officers Crystal Almeida and Rogelio Santander are three-year veterans of the force. A Home Depot employee also shot yesterday is in critical condition. The suspect, Armando Juarez, faces two assault charges and two previous felony theft warrants. The Dallas City Council is scheduled to vote today on the future of the city's Confederate landmarks and memorials. KERA's Christina Martinez has a preview.
A task force put together by Mayor Mike Rawlings issued recommendations on what to do with the city's monuments. Then city staff made some of their own. For the most part, the proposal before the City Council would preserve most of what the task force suggested, such as commemorating the Hall of Negro Life at Fair Park that was built for the Texas Centennial Exposition in 1936 and then destroyed. Also, a memorial of the 1910 mob lynching of Allen Brooks and adding historical context to the Confederate symbols at Fair Park. There are some key differences, though. There's a provision in the council agenda item that would not rename city streets named after leaders connected to the Confederacy. The Robert E. Lee statue, which was removed from Oaklawn Park, would be sold at a fine art auction house, rather than being donated to the Texas Civil War Museum in White Settlement. The agenda item also calls for the demolition of the base of the Lee statue, as well as the Confederate War Memorial at Pioneer Park Cemetery. Those changes could stir up debate among council members. Several have indicated they'd like to vote on the recommendations separately. Christina Martinez, KERA News.
A recent report from the Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance shows the city's homeless population getting older and sicker. In our ongoing Breakthroughs project, KERA's Stephanie Kuo reports what the findings mean for our healthcare system.
At last month's State of the Homeless Address, Cindy Crane, the outgoing president and CEO of the Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance, confirmed one of the demographic trends that has her worried the most.
The greatest impact of an aging homeless population, of course, is healthcare.
And Crane has the numbers to prove it. Nearly all of the homeless in the group's database have been to a Dallas hospital in the past 2 years, and 35% of them were admitted.
They have to tend to their health, and without a regular doctor, without a general practitioner, their only option is 911, transport, or just showing up at the hospital.
Which is the most expensive option. As a matter of fact, half of the homeless patients who went to the ER ended up going back several times a year, or even several times a month. These patients are known as high utilizers, and they visit for anything from actual health emergencies to chronic disease maintenance to medication refills or a cough.
Sometimes people show up in the emergency department because they haven't been accessing primary care for their adult life. And so they wait until a crisis arises and they go to the emergency room. That's kind of what they know.
Dr. Laura Johnson is a physician with Parkland's Homeless Outreach Medical Services. The program provides mobile health care to homeless patients to keep them from making costly trips to the hospital. Parkland's ER sees about 40 high utilizers a month. Nearly all of them are homeless, over the age of 50, with little to no health insurance. And in the past year, some have accumulated over $100,000 in unpaid bills. According to the Kaiser Family Foundation, patients like this represent just 5% of the U.S. population, but account for half of healthcare spending. It's becoming a lot for hospitals to bear.
What we'll see is continued overburdening of hospital ERs across the nation. And more so than that, we're going to continue to see negative health outcomes for these individuals.
Cheryl Abraham is a complex case social worker at Parkland. She's part of a year-old program designed to fill the gaps that doctors can't. She prioritizes holistic care, connecting the homeless to closer, more appropriate medical services, asking more questions, and better understanding their lives and their needs outside the hospital doors. She remembers a patient who'd been to the hospital over 200 times since 2016, a woman with paranoid schizophrenia.
The anxiety that comes from that prevented her from accessing emergency shelter. And so what she would do, she learned the cycle of you can access an ER, you have to get seen. And she would do that for years. And we were able to work with City Square, their cottages program, and we were able to facilitate her getting a cottage. And since that time, she has not returned to the ER.
That's brought down costs for both Parkland and taxpayers, who ultimately foot the bill for the county hospital. That woman's situation is what being a social worker is all about, getting to the root of the problem, which isn't always medical.
Because typically for a patient that's coming in multiple times for different primary complaints of foot pain or chest pain or whatever it might be, what we have found is that when we build the relationship, have that rapport with them and ask the deeper questions, they often do build that trust to reveal what is actually going on more than just pain in their foot.
Abraham says if they're coming to the hospital because they're hungry, she'll find nearby food pantries. If they need substance abuse or mental health treatment, she might reach out to MetroCare Services. If they're looking for a place to sleep at night, which they often are, she'll help them get to shelters like The Bridge and Austin Street, or help them secure permanent housing with organizations like City Square. Approaching homeless, high-utilizing patients like this is saving Parkland a lot of money and building trust between the homeless and the medical community.
I think where healthcare is headed is that we are not able to just pay attention to the medical aspect of a person anymore. These types of patients, their needs at this high of a level or at a moderate level are going to continue until the whole of the person is addressed.
But social workers and doctors know there's only so much even they can do for their homeless patients. Parkland's Dr. Laura Johnson says it's housing that truly makes the difference.
I saw a patient this past week who is 65 years old, and he's diabetic and has high blood pressure, and he is now in housing. He has the resources to be able to make it on time to get his medications. He has food in his own home that he can prepare. He looked and felt so much better than I had seen him look or feel in recent months.
For a rapidly aging homeless population dealing with the increasing pressures of instability and illness, an emergency room looks like a safe place, a roof over their head. But with help from doctors, social workers, and homeless advocates, an actual home can be a place for healing. Stephanie Kuo, KERA News.
Outgoing Alliance CEO Cindy Crane is a member of KERA's Community Advisory Board.